We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
She's a retired football player, a spear enthusiast, and she can beat up Cody Gold and Serta all at once.
You just let those wounds get infected. It'll teach them a lesson about being tough.
She's KCTV5 sports director, Danny Welniak.
It is that time of the week when we welcome in the sports director over at KCTV5, Danny Welniak. Danny, good to have you back on the show after the week off. How we doing? We got you an intro now and everything. It's legit.
I was going to say, my goodness, I cannot stop laughing. That was phenomenal. Plus the Family Guy quote, I think, just tops it all off. So thank you guys for honoring me with such a phenomenal and on-point introduction.
Only took us one whole year.
Yeah, it was only 15 months later, you know? No big deal. No big deal at all.
Hey, no judgment here. The fact that you guys did it at all, I am extremely excited about.
We'll take it. We'll take it from that. And Danny, we obviously have talked a lot of Chiefs as we're just a few weeks away from the NFL draft, but it's hard for us to ignore the start for Royals baseball. Now, we're trying to take credit for Witt's hot start because the Whit Merrifield show started last Thursday for opening day, and since then he's obviously hitting as good as anyone in baseball. But what part of the team has been the most encouraging for you? I know it's only four games, but does something stand out as being like, okay, this is something that could last, it actually means this team has a chance?
Yeah, well, I definitely...
And I guess we're having some technical difficulties there with Danny. We'll try to reconnect with Danny Welniak from KCB5, unfortunately, having a little bit of connection issue with her, just trying to get her perspective,
we'll fix it, no
of course,
big deal.
On obviously the start for the Royals and what she views as the most positive thing so far coming out. And certainly if for us, I know we were talking about the pitching, and specifically you are really high on the bullpen now. You're coming around on the bullpen. It's funny, I say coming around, we're four games.
I was high up, well, and I liked the bullpen, but I wasn't like in love with it the way I felt like some other people were.
Well, and it's not like the roles are defined yet. That actually in a way is what's exciting about it. Because Mike Matheny has so many options in this bullpen, it appears, going in. And like yesterday, Jesse Hahn, what he was capable of doing in a role in which I don't think, again, it was predetermined that's what he was going to be. He was already throwing because they thought they were going to need him for the prior inning, and he was already up and throwing. So they said, all right, we'll go ahead and let you have a shot at this, Jesse Hahn. And Greg Holland ends up warming up as well. And Jesse Hahn was able to get out of a little bit of an issue, right? He had a double play, and Carlos Santana backs him up with the glove, and that was a welcome sign as well. So I think that's what's exciting about the pitching too, is the bullpen, as we welcome back in Danny Welniak. Danny, yeah, just like as Cody was asking you, what kind of stood out? What's the biggest positive for you so far for the Royals?
Got to get this phone under control. I know, too much excitement to handle. It's as excited about the offense, apparently, as I am. I know you guys mentioned the bullpen's a big thing that you are very encouraged by. But for me, I think I've brought it up multiple times leading into this season, is that it felt like in – you know, the past few seasons, the Royals have had a couple guys here and there who've been able to hit home runs or have been able to produce offensively, Salvador Perez being one of them. But you can't just have one guy in the middle of a lineup who's going to hit a home run without runners in scoring position. And it feels like they're really taking advantage of those opportunities this time around. And I know it's a very small sample size, it's still very early, but for me, it's that idea of the snowball effect and getting guys to get on, keep the line moving, get the big home runs, get the triples, the doubles, while there are guys on base. And I think we're seeing that, and then you're getting more production from a guy like Whit Merrifield, who isn't necessarily known for hitting dingers, but is doing so this season. And he even mentioned in one of his preseason press conferences that he wanted to hit, I think, like 30 plus home runs this year. So at this pace, he's definitely going to. But I think that's very encouraging because they all have that mindset, and you have to be able to put up the runs in order to support that bullpen.
Well, they've been a bottom five offense for 3 years in a row. Like that might be the area of the most improvement, Danny, because the bullpen last year was good. 2 years ago was awful. But last year, the bullpen was good. It just seems like it got deeper. Like, there's not, for the first time in probably, maybe those runs in 14 and 15, I don't see a guy in the bullpen as a, oh, dear God, please don't let them pitch in a two-run game. Like, maybe I prefer one guy over the other, but I don't feel like there's a guy that I feel that, like, impending doom if they come in a close baseball game.
No, I definitely agree with you. And I think that that depth, maybe you don't have guys that are the best of the best, but like you mentioned, at least you have that confidence that whenever you do have somebody come in the bullpen, that it's not going to be a complete dumpster fire as we've seen in the past. And there have been a couple guys even like, okay, well, here we go. They're going to end up putting up or giving up, you know, four or five runs. And then if the offense can respond, then maybe the Royals have a chance. But now you have both of those things working for you, and I think that's a really positive sign.
The Royals, Danny, of course, they have the day off, and they're back at it tomorrow against the Indians. It's so early, so it's always that balance of, like, what can you take long-term out of the first four games? I think what a lot of us took out of those first two was this team being able to come back from being down multiple runs, and certainly the deficit on opening day, the deficit there on Saturday. Like, is that something that you actually maybe say is more realistic to be able to carry you through than even seeing some of the maybe the crazier numbers that are being put up by some of the guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Simply because of the fact of what we've seen go on over at Arrowhead just across the parking lot, in that it's such a mentality. And I know that Matheny and the guys mentioned that winning's a habit, but so is having the confidence to come back from being down like that and knowing that there's no deficit too deep and no hole too deep for you and your team to get out of. And I think the players really feed off of each other when they feel like they can do that. And I think it adds that element of confidence knowing that, hey, no matter how bad the game may look or how grim the outcome, you at least know that you have each other to lean on and that they have the potential of being able to come back and win games no matter what. So I think even if it's just a small sample size, like you mentioned, Gold, I do think that that is a very, very important mentality to be those comeback kids during the regular season, because there are so many times you are going to find yourself in those positions. And even if you don't come back, you at least create that positive energy that the possibility is there for them to win at any point.
Speaking with Danny Welniak over at KCTV5, Danny, how much of my parenting advice are you still using? I'm curious. Is it still coming in handy, or do you need like older kid advice now? Eventually we can handle that version of things.
No, you actually gave me some older kid advice with like the books and stuff.
Oh,
so
that's right.
It's kind of it's naturally progressing. So it feels like when I'm done with like one of your pieces of advice, there's just another one waiting for me in my journal that I kept. I have all of your pieces of advice. So like I said, I need to write a book of your advice, and of course you would be the author and then give it to people. But it has been phenomenal. So
see?
Very, very grateful.
I actually gave Gold a little bit of an insight to like what it's like to have like a toddler today, and he was not on board. Like it was, and not like on board with my advice, but in general, I just think like the idea of like the amount of just like, I don't know, pee you deal with on a daily basis is a lot when you deal with a parent. Like that's the trade-off, Danny. These are the things that come with the territory, which I think if you're, you know, not having kids right now, doesn't seem all that appealing.
Right. And I've always been like a pet person, so I understand the importance of poop, but I am now realizing how much more important it is to monitor human poop now.
Gosh.
It's so strange to say, but it is part of being a parent. It's wild.
Having conversation like that's part of your conversation. You're like, oh, what do you talk with a significant other about? When you have kids, sometimes that is a point of conversation.
Thrilling.
Because it has to be, not because you want it to be. It's there was a concerning sign or a non-concerning sign. It's look, man, I'm not gonna pretend to you that this is the best part of parenting. There are clearly much better portions of it. But this is the sad Danny, I'm just letting him in on the reality of eventual child rearing. This is what comes with the territory.
Yeah. And if you recognize the negative things, then the positive things are that much more rewarding and you just fall in love with it that much more. Like this morning when I was getting my little one ready to go to daycare, she was not happy about something and I couldn't figure out what it was. So then I just started dancing in the middle of the kitchen and she started laughing so hard. And those are the moments that you just take with you the rest of the day and you just think, okay, I'm not that bad of a parent after all.
We're talking to Dani Welniak here. She joins each and every Tuesday, of course, on Cody and Gold. Dani, the national championship game last night, I have to ask, though, are you on board with one shining moment or no? Because Cody, he doesn't say he hates it, but he doesn't buy into it. And I will admit, I hate to say this because I was a staunch defender yesterday on the show. Last night's one shining moment, Cody doesn't even know this yet. I was a little disappointed, and I think it's because the lack of fans in the crowd. We didn't get the shots of the fans. Last night's one shining moment wasn't exactly the best.
So I love the idea of one shining moment, and like I can get up for it because it's built up to be the epitome of the NCAA tournament and what we all look forward to. But the song itself, I'm sorry.
You don't like Luther?
I think it needs to be something a little bit more intense. It just doesn't feel intense. It just feels like this kind of like dream, I guess, which is what it's supposed to be, and it's supposed to be beautiful. But I think it's a little bit more upbeat, I think.
It's just no good. Pretending something is good just because it's been around a while.
The idea of it.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is fine.
That's part of it. That is part of it, is that it's a tradition and that people love traditions.
Last thing from me, Dani, and then we'll let you go. Dani Welniak over at KCTV5. Is Titanic a good movie?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Who says it's not a good movie?
Me. Cody?
Me. Is Pearl Harbor a good movie?
Yes.
Two for two.
Also a bad
great
movie.
Answers, Dani. Keep going.
Dani, this is no good.
Great Titanic's fine. I want to make that clear. It's fine.
Great answers, Dani. Can you give her the third movie?
Is Armageddon a good movie?
I actually enjoyed Armageddon.
Yeah. Look, that was not a ringing endorsement for Armageddon.
She said,
be clear.
She said she enjoys it. She said she enjoys it. She said
I enjoy some bad movies too. That doesn't mean they're good.
She gave that's three thumbs ups.
That's three thumbs up.
I'm not a very good movie critic because I
find Dani,
like,
no,
in lots of movies. So this might sound random, but speaking of movies, okay, so I'm a big like superhero fan. Did not really like the initial Justice League. Just got finished watching the Zack Snyder version of Justice League on HBO Max. Phenomenal.
Much better is what Serta said. It was better. I don't think the words phenomenal were not out of his mouth, but he definitely liked it better than the original, Dani.
Yes. Much, much better in my opinion.
Dani Welniak.
We have to do movie reviews every week.
Yeah, I mean.
It's a better movie. I just don't love Zack Snyder.
Dani Welniak, thanks as always. We'll check in next week.
Thanks, guys.
Dani over at KCTV5. How about that on the movie takes? That was a little surprising. I was not expecting that.
She agreed with you. Although she did like dismiss her own.
You guys act like you're Ebert and Ropert over here or something like that.
That's Serta. I just said I didn't think, you know. Like, I don't pretend like she said, I enjoy Armageddon. I enjoy some bad movies, too. Like, I hope Serta has some guilty pleasure movies that he know genuinely aren't good movies.
Well, he brought up one from, like, the 80s I had never heard of.
But he enjoys them anyway. Mostly, yeah, they're related to childhood or, like, early stages of those.
But we looked it up. Was it Pearl Harbor? I was 10 when Pearl Harbor came out, so.
Like, bad action movies is maybe the key to all of it. Like, Serta said, he doesn't care if Godzilla and King Kong has a good, you know, like, has a good story-driven plot with character development. He just wants to watch monsters fight. That doesn't mean it's a good movie. It just means I want to watch monsters fight each other. I want to watch Godzilla beat up King Kong and vice versa.
Well, Pearl Harbor is also just... I don't like Michael Bay.
Fair enough. That's what it is for you, maybe, more than anything else.
His movies are way too long. All of them are horribly written and character acted, and the stories are all convoluted and just recycled and repurposed.
There it is. I think we got to the bottom of a little bit of part of the reasoning there. Hey, reminder, 15 minutes away from your next chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. But also don't forget, coming up May 7th through the 14th over at the Lyric Opera's Production Arts Building, Baseball, a Musical Love Letter. The Lyric Opera partnering up with the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum right here in Kansas City. exploring the link between what was happening on the diamond and what was happening in our country. If you go to 610sports.com, you can then click on contest and register for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Baseball, a Musical Love Letter. Again, scheduled for May 7th through the 14th at the Lyric Opera's Production Arts Building. So the Kansas athletic director search has been going on for like 3 weeks or so. Tomorrow, they'll introduce their new athletic director in Travis Goff. And I think overall, like, it's not a coaching hire yet, right? I mean, that's to come, or maybe they're going to stick with their interim head coach at this point in time. But if you're going through, and anytime there's an athletic director hire, a lot of people, fans, right, have a box or two they want checked. And I think Travis Goff checks every single one of those boxes, but it's all going to still be dictated on what he does with the football program. A, does he choose to roll with the interim head coach? Does he choose to hire his own guy? And what success comes from that? And the bar is low, right? We're talking, if you can win 3 or 4 games with the head football coach you choose to hire or keep, right, and promote to head coach, then people are going to view you favorably. It's a 5-year contract. You're making $700,000 a year, which is actually one of the lowest paid athletic directors in the Big 12. Your basketball program is taken care of, a lifetime contract for Bill Self. Yes, the NCAA stuff is pending, but you feel good about what you have over there, obviously. Your job is way more than football. I get it. Fundraiser and all that.
I get it. No, yeah,
I'm saying, yeah, it's way more than that. But how are you going to be judged, and how are you going to keep your job? More than anything else, it's going to be, do you have a football program that can start winning games?
That's the only thing that's going to keep your job. You can raise all the money in the world. By the way, Zenger was pretty good at raising money.
Yeah.
He was a pretty good fundraiser, Gold. Honestly, Jeff Long wasn't a terrible fundraiser. Both those guys did an okay job at bringing money into the university.
Alums and boosters have no problem donating money at Kansas.
Certainly. Now, look, Long didn't lose his job because football stung. Long lost his job because he hired a guy who was accused of a lot of misdeeds at his previous employer and then tried to play dumb, like, how could he have possibly have known it? He didn't get fired because the football team couldn't play. So they will, if he does not make a hire that, you know, backfires on them in a horrible look in their face, he will, you would presume, actually keep the job even if they won 3 games over the next 3 years. They'll give him some time to do it, because at this rate, how can you not? Like, if you bring in an AD and you're like, fix football in 2 years, what are you even doing here? And by the way, fix football means win 3 games in 1 season.
Yeah,
sometime in the next 4 years. That's legitimately what the bar should be set at. Eventually, I told you, the in question for all these programs is, what is Kansas football at its best? What should Kansas football be in a 10-year microcosm? And you're saying, okay, in 10 years, they should be above 500 5 times. They should make a bowl game 4 times. They should finish top 4 in the Big 12 once. Like, that's probably, and look, that's a pretty low bar for any Power 5 football program. But that's where Kansas is right now.
Yeah, and so Travis Goff will be introduced tomorrow at 10 a.m. press conference as the new athletic director at KU, and a fairly crucial role at Northwestern in helping their football program build up and fundraise there, and then down at Tulane as well, and some of the stadium renovations. Again, the stadium stuff is a long-term deal. That's, like, to me, more second contract type of thing that you would be worrying about. I don't think that's something that is in the first 5 years of your job, right? You got to just get the football program rolling or whatever. But they have their athletic director. The next question tomorrow with him will be, all right, what's your plan? Are you going to roll with the interim head coach in the fall, or are you going to hire a coach? And how are you going to view that? Reports are that Travis Goff is already in Lawrence today and already starting to work already, despite not even being introduced as the new athletic director there at KU. We'll get to the national cash contest in about 10 minutes or so, but their rumblings around the NFL continue at the top of the draft. And we know 1 and 2 seems pretty solidified. 3 seems like the Niners for sure. Maybe even it's going to be Mac Jones. There's more momentum in that direction, but that'll have to wait probably.
Trying to decide if that's all smoke. But Mac Jones has been mentioned like by 15 different NFL people now.
Almost too much, right? Like, you get to a point where you're almost not buying it. But then it gets interesting at 4. And the Falcons are sitting at 4. Are they bought into Matt Ryan, new regime there? Reports are the coach might want to hang on to Ryan for 2 more years or more, believes there's something there. GM might want to go in a different direction. You got the Broncos in the AFC West sitting at 9. And because Sam Darnold gets traded from the Jets to the Panthers, it's one less team, we think, that needs to draft a quarterback. If you agree with that or not, just based on the compensation they gave up, it would usually tell you that they're not going to also draft a quarterback, the Panthers. So if so, the Broncos, there's a chance, could they stay at 9 and still get the fourth quarterback, or do they need to move up to 4 and make sure they get Again, whoever they view, we don't know. Mac
Jones, if he didn't go three.
Sure. Like, I mean, if the Broncos ended up getting Fields at nine, if they were to stay at nine and get Fields, I think you'd have to be really pleased if you're the Denver Broncos going forward. Doesn't mean Fields will be the guy, but I think you know Drew Lock's not the guy. So if you're telling me at nine, you wouldn't even have to trade up, and you might be able to have that guy fall in your lap. That's interesting. It's just, are you able to be there at nine and get him, or do you need to be aggressive if you're Denver and be calling the Atlanta Falcons to move up?
If you're the Falcons and you're not taking a quarterback at four, you got to trade down. Someone will trade up to take a quarterback there, even if you take below what would be normal market value to move up in that pick, right? Say the Broncos want to go from nine to four. Take it, man. Take what they're offering. If somebody's offering, and there are reports from Schefter this morning that, you know, there are already teams calling at number four. Why wouldn't you take that call? If you're not taking a quarterback,
there's no reason for you to stay there.
Because if someone's trading up to four, guess what they're taking? A quarterback.
Right.
They're not trading up to take Sewell, who, by the way, his arms aren't long enough for whatever nonsense that's going to end up costing him a couple of draft spots. Possibly. It might not, but, you know, teams are weird about certain measurables when it comes for NFL quarterbacks, NFL offensive linemen, linebackers, wide receivers, whatever.
Yeah, stuff gets leaked out on purpose here leading up to the draft, too.
Like his arm length, that's a real thing that NFL teams do pay attention to, and we know that. It's a stupid caveat for, say, this guy's or, you know, he was a dominant offensive lineman in college. He will still be a top 10 pick. I'm not saying it's going to sink his value. But if you're the Falcons and you're not taking a quarterback at four, there is no reason to stay in that spot.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the best case scenario for you. The top four picks all go to quarterback, and now you're sitting, what, five picks, six picks below that with a bevy of choices by the time it comes down to you. Wide receivers are going to be available for some of these teams. Not to say that that's what the Falcons would go after. They could probably use an offensive lineman. But if you're looking through the league right now, this is the way everyone's trying to match the Mahomes version of things. So they are going back around in the draft now to try to take all these guys at the top.
Yeah, and then, I mean, if you are the Falcons, though, I still think you have to consider, even if you do believe Matt Ryan has another year or two left of quality football, I still don't think that should take you out of the thought of taking a quarterback at number four, though, especially if you're sitting there at four and you still have the pick and you haven't traded before draft night. And you're sitting there at four, and let's say they are in love with Trey Lance, and he's there at four, and it's fine. You don't believe Trey Lance is starting for you in year one. That's fine. Let Matt Ryan go one more year for you. At least you have Trey Lance developing, and you can move on from Matt Ryan the year after that. So I don't think, just even if they agree that Matt Ryan has a year or two left, I don't think that automatically takes you out of the opportunity to take a quarterback. But yeah, if you are dead set on not taking a quarterback, you have to move out of the four spot. And so that's where all these discussions, and suddenly the Niners and the Falcons kind of hold the key to the draft.
They do.
They're in charge of it, specifically
the Niners, it feels like, because that's a big domino.
Yeah, we know the Niners are going to take a quarterback. We just don't know which one. Yeah, and I mean, Lawrence and Zach Wilson are going 1-2. I mean, that's pretty much a done deal at this point in time. But Mac Jones suddenly maybe going 3 overall is a bit of a surprise, if in fact that actually happens. We've got till April 29th to get to the draft, and certainly the Chiefs would love for plenty of quarterbacks to go off the board early on in the draft, and plenty of offensive linemen and wide receivers, for that matter, to go off the board to save them a spot there at number 31, unless the Chiefs get aggressive and decide to trade up a little bit. I just think it's going to be too pricey to do that, to ensure that they get the guy they want. But we'll see. We'll find out. Plenty more discussion on that. I think on Friday we'll have Kent Swanson from Arrowhead Pride join us, our draft analyst. Of course, the KC Draft Guide is out from Arrowhead Pride. Coming up next, your chance at $1,000 international cash contest, and we'll get you to what's trending.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending. Well, the Royals have today off, but a 3-1 start to the season. Tomorrow they're back at it. 12:10 first pitch right here on 610 Sports Radio against the Cleveland Indians. We now know that Jacob Junis will get the start, and we'll talk more about this in a little bit, but it seems as though one would expect maybe then Carlos Hernandez or Kyle Zimmer maybe could get some action after that. But Jacob Junis, who looked good in relief the other day, will be the starting pitcher as Brad Keller was bumped to Thursday's series opener against the Chicago White Sox.
Be interesting to see if that means that's their plan for the fifth starter for a while, because like we know eventually like Lynch or somebody else or a fifth starter or somebody else might get hurt that causes it in there, but because they'd have to make a roster move essentially if they wanted to bring up like Irvin Santana, Junis or Hernandez made the most sense, at least in the interim, because we don't know what their long-term plan is for a fifth starter. We didn't think they were going to need a fifth starter this early.
Yeah, that's what's surprising.
But that's because they pushed Junis back a day, which I thought was weird, but that, you know, that all adds up into the story.
Yeah, and then also what Scott Blewitt's now down at Northwest Arkansas after we knew he was, prior to opening day, had been designated for assignment, but
yeah,
he's
maybe
clear.
It's Valori as well.
Yep.
I'm not surprised Blewitt didn't get claimed. I thought Valoria might, but at least on that end. By the way, it is your time for the Dash or the Cash. Your code word in the National Cash Contest this hour is SOAP. S-O-A-P, SOAP. Just text that over to 72881. You could be a $1,000 winner in our National Cash Contest. Complete rules over at 610sports.com. Another chance at 2:30. Message and data rates may apply. The Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today. Again, that word is SOAP. S-O-A-P. Text it to 72881 for your chance at $1,000. Next up on What's Trending, it was a national championship game last night. Baylor in an absolute rout. The more stunning part in the stat gold you had put out earlier in the year that I hadn't realized was, sure, Kansas has won a couple of national titles over the last, you know, 40 years or so, which, you know, doesn't sound like a lot, but the Big 12 hadn't had a national title since Kansas in 2008, and they hadn't had a national title winner in the Big 12 since 1946. No Texas, no Oklahoma, no Nebraska. It didn't matter who the teams were. Didn't matter if it was Big 12 or Big 8. They hadn't had one since it was Oklahoma A&M in 1946. So in the truth, Big 12 needed this, man. They needed another champion to at least make it seem like the conference could win other championships. I know that sounds silly enough, but other conferences have multiple champions. Sometimes Florida gets there. You know what I'm saying? Like other teams get there through those conferences.
It's a good look.
Hadn't been that way in the Big 12.
It's a good look for the Big 12, and obviously what Scott Drew has done there is pretty remarkable. Like I was back in 2012, 2013, like, okay, you know, he's starting to recruit better, but how good of a coach is he? Well, now, right now, the consensus is, well, Scott Drew is probably a top 10 coach in college basketball with what he's been able to do. Yes, he can recruit, clearly can coach. He gets Baylor's first title, and now Baylor joins like five schools that have won a women's basketball championship and a men's basketball championship. What, I think it's Baylor, UConn, Stanford as like a three of the five that have also won both men and women's basketball championships. Pretty remarkable, and obviously a dominating performance by Baylor last night. Next up on What's Trending, Kansas tomorrow will introduce their next athletic director at a 10 a.m. press conference. He is Travis Goff, was most recently over at Northwestern. Go back to early 2000s, he was part of the KU athletic department, also is a KU graduate, Dodge City native, so you start checking the boxes of maybe what you would like to have in an athletic director at your university. He has a track record of fundraising as well. That'll happen tomorrow, made official, five-year contract, about $700,000 per year is his annual salary, which actually puts him towards the bottom of the Big 12 and all that. But if you think about how this will be viewed 4 years from now, 5 years from now, it's going to be, what's the football program look like? We know that. Is the coach successful? Whether it's the interim head coach that they have currently, whether it's going to be a new head coach that they hire on a permanent basis, how much success does a football program have is how, if we're being honest, we're going to judge the job that Travis Goff ultimately is doing. Fair or not, that's what's going to happen.
It's the only thing that matters at that stage. Next up on What's Trending, there have been two Major League Baseball trades today on April, double check this, 6th?
Yeah, bizarre.
April 6th, Orlando Arcia is heading out of Milwaukee and heading over to the Braves in a deal for two pitchers, apparently, and then Rougned Odor. And his entire salary is going to get paid by the Rangers, which is even more fascinating. He's heading to the New York Yankees.
How about that?
On a trade between the two organizations.
GM Chris Young of the Rangers, wheeling and dealing 4 days into the season.
I forgot he was their GM.
Yeah.
He's a bit uppity.
Chris Young. Yeah, I mean, like,
I mean, he is Ivy League educated and a professional baseball player.
That guy,
but he lets you know it. You
extremely
know?
Intelligent.
He lets you know it.
Extremely intelligent. I was listening to Dayton Moore over the weekend. And I think he was talking to Ryan Lefevre on the radio, actually, here on 610 on Saturday about Chris Young. They're just like, this is a guy that could do anything he ever wanted in baseball, like post playing career, because clearly the extremely intelligent individual. And he's got a tough situation in Texas, though. That organization, major rebuild right now. But yeah, it's bizarre to see these trades happening so early on in the season.
Only guy with a stronger dad vibe than you, Chris Young. He's got strong dad vibes.
I don't know about that.
I mean, you really like some of the stuff that, like, you would associate with, like, middle-aged dads.
Like what? Titanic?
Well, sure, that. But, I mean, it was the taxes, for one. And
oh, I said I have no problem filing taxes. Yeah, I don't mind doing them.
Yeah. That one always stands out. But there's a few other things we pointed out over the time. Just nothing. Look, I'm not. I've got more, like, middle-aged mom vibes. So, you know, take what you want out of it.
Next up on What's Trending. Colorado, the city of Denver, actually getting the 2021 All-Star Game this year. As we know, it's been moved out of Atlanta and now is going to be in Denver. The Rockies will get that honor to host it in July. Then the running was, of course, Kansas City, who had the fourth best odds even as of yesterday to get it. Milwaukee at one point was viewed as a favorite as well, but they choose Denver, Colorado for that. They, if you think about the NL portion of it, which is why Milwaukee would have made sense along with Hank Aaron in the tie-in, but Major League Baseball may have wanted to keep it in an NL city since it was leaving an NL city in Atlanta, but definitely a bummer. I think we understood what kind of tie-in it could have had with the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum here in KC. And let's be honest, and this goes for every city, like the economic impact after what everybody's gone through the last year would have been massive. So like I saw some people say, man, downtown Denver really needed it. I'm sure they did, but I could have made the same case for Kansas City, for Milwaukee, for Chicago, for every city in the country. Like, people are like, no, this was really something. Denver, they really needed it. Like, yeah, I'm sure, but every city could have used the economic benefit of having the All-Star Game. So a bummer. I wonder if still the, you know, how close KC got and, you know, how close.
How seriously were they considered?
Yeah, I mean, was it the scheduling too? Because the Rockies are on the road the week before the All-Star Game. Did that help their cause? I would be curious to really know, like, what pushed them over the hump there, right, to get it there. But that's where the All-Star Game's going to be, Colorado.
Lastly on What's Trending, Fernando Tatis is undergoing an MRI today to determine the severity of what is a dislocated shoulder after a violent swing last night. I guess there's also a possibility of a possible labrum tear. Now, if he has that, then he's got problems. Like, if he's got a tear, then he's going to have surgery. If it's just a separated shoulder, he could miss, you know, a month or so. If he has to have shoulder surgery, he's done for the year. And he just signed that huge contract, and they got a ton of talent. It's not fun to watch best players in baseball not play, and it seems like that's a possibility with Fernando Tatis.
Yeah, that's a major bummer. That would be extremely disappointing if you just like baseball and one of the fun teams to watch, and therefore he's one of the bright, fun stars to watch in the game. So we'll see how that goes. As we proceed in the next week, I'm sure we'll get a better idea on his injury status. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, though, the draft, it's going to happen here at the end of the month. And Binks got his fifth mock draft out there, Binks Mock 5.0. If you know who the Chiefs are taking, maybe you've got to figure it out. Maybe you just know the Chiefs at 31, who they're taking. You can go to 610sports.com right on the homepage there and check out the Cody and Gold draft predictor. You go on there, you type in who the Chiefs are going to take at pick 31. And if you get the pick right, you'll be entered to win an autographed Tyreek Hill helmet. Really cool helmet. You know, I'm a memorabilia nerd when it comes to this kind of stuff, so I'm a little jealous.
He's entering under Alex Silver.
That's right. That's right. To win it. So you could do that if you know the pick, and you'll be entered with anybody that gets it right. And let's say the Chiefs trade out of the first round. Well, then everybody that just enters a pick at that point would be entered to win it. So it's a no-brainer. It's completely free to sign up. Go to 610sports.com. You just got to have the pick in before the draft. But maybe right now you already know. Maybe you know they're going with that offensive tackle, and you've got one in mind already.
I'm just
going
to go on whatever Bink tells me right now. Bink's mock 5.0 is out.
It is.
He's got him taking the offensive tackle Cosby right out of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Sounds good. That's my guy. That's the guy I'm entering the contest
with. Yeah, Bink was in studio with us earlier, and he does have his fifth mock draft down. He does have him taking the tackle out of Texas, but he also has him taking a tight end in the second round. And you know, this offseason, I told you, I wanted them to. Bink's been on that train for like 2 years. I said, all right, this offseason, I'm good with them exploring another tight end to help out with blocking and also maybe a tight end even of the future to a certain extent as another weapon.
Sure.
I was hoping they would do that in free agency. In the draft,
he's got him in round
two is where I would have an issue. Like, if you told me they draft a tight end in the third or fourth round, it's hard for me to get too upset about that. Second round, that's a premium pick. That is a premium pick.
For a guy who's not even going to be relevant enough immediately. Aren't they looking for immediate players right now? In the second round, don't you want a guy who's going to play at least 60% of the snaps for the Chiefs this year?
Bink did tell us, right? He thinks the tight end that he believes that they could draft in round two is someone, Cody, that could be that, because not only as a blocker, but maybe Travis Kelce ends up truly being your number two wide receiver. I know you like hearing wide receiver Travis Kelce.
Look, he is played like a wide receiver. He flexes out. So to have another guy in the line, they can play two tight ends on that team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that scenario is what's attractive about it, as far as the short term, if you're worried about having the immediate impact,
sure,
right?
But it's like a 300-yard wide receiver who blocks. I gotta be honest, I think I just roll with Blake Bell versus that, or free agency versus that for this year. Like, and I know that, like, Binkley's saying, hey, you want like a
Tommy Trimble's the tight end, by the
sure,
way.
You want a safety from Notre Dame. You want a safety net right in Travis Kelce. Well, Travis Kelce doesn't miss games. The reason why Peyton Manning didn't have a backup for all those years, and I know he did. His name was Jim Sorge.
He was
not good at football. He shouldn't have probably been on a roster as long as he was, but he gets to just keep his job because Peyton Manning plays 16 games every year. 16 games no matter what. And look, I'll knock on wood if it makes you feel better. Travis Kelce doesn't miss football. Travis Kelce plays every game. That's why I don't get in a hurry about. Like, you can talk me into it in a ton of positions. Like, Tyreek Hill might miss. He's missed a couple of games over the last few years at least, right? McCarr has missed a couple of games over the last few years. Running backs always miss time. Offensive linemen have missed time. Like, they've had, you know, Juan Thornhill will now be on year two of recovering from his injury.
Yeah.
There's a lot of positions. Linebacker, right? They've missed some time. But it's like tight end's never been a problem, ever.
I would rather them not take a tight end in the second round. Now, Bink, his argument is, well, you're picking and pick 31 in the second round, pick 63 overall. And so the argument there is that you would be able to say, all right, well, essentially it's almost a third round pick. If that's the guy you want, you don't risk him not being there. You're not going to be there at pick 31 in round three. That's his argument. I'm fine with a tight end. Not so excited about a second round pick on the tight end. My thing is, I like his first round pick at least, and in his mock. Like, to me, even if they go and sign Villanueva tomorrow, I want them taking a tackle with pick number one.
You want a long-term answer there.
Yeah, because Villanueva is not a long-term answer. And now, Bink switched up from his center pick. He hasn't taken a center, I don't think, anymore in his mocks. He hasn't taken a wide receiver in the fourth round, a linebacker in the third round. Center, I'm still good with in like the third or fourth round. He thinks, I guess Bink has him taking a center in the sixth round instead. He thinks it's, you know, you can get a center in the sixth or seventh round to back up Austin Blythe, and then maybe he becomes your starting center a year or so from now. But yeah, the Tommy Trimble one and Brevin Jenkins have been the two tight ends that everybody's kind of talked a lot about. And hey, look, if my attention and my ears perk up when I hear Tommy Trimble, some people think he could be George Kittle. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I start listening.
That's the KC draft guy by Ken Swanson, Craig Stout, and crew had.
Yeah, like I'm very interested in that. Is there a scenario where he's in the, if he's a third round grade, are you saying he's not, is there any way that you could make a move in the third round at that point in time to get him? Pick 31 in round two is a tough one to swallow, depending on how the rest of this free agency goes, right? Too. I mean, it also changes if the Chiefs don't even go out and get a veteran tackle before the draft, and we're sitting there on draft night and they don't have a left tackle.
Then they 1,000% have to take a tackle with pick 31.
I would argue you might have to take
22.
You might have to take two, Cody, at that point in time. Not sure. Saying the first two picks, but take two tackles across the draft at that point. Like, I would have no issue with that. Throw as many numbers as possible at that offensive line right now, and I'm still good with it for long-term solutions.
Yeah, and obviously they have one long-term solution right now. A five offensive lineman position.
Yeah.
There's one dude you know who's going to be here for a while. His name is Joe Tooney. That's it.
Yep.
That's the only guy.
Hopefully Niang.
They just signed
their
center to a one-year deal. We hope Niang, and honestly, I don't think that's a bad bet. If I told you Niang was a long-term answer at offensive line, I actually feel pretty confident they feel that way, because even if he didn't work out as a tackle, it's hard to say he wouldn't work out as a guard, although he's not really the normal size for a guard. He's more athletic and long, kind of like they like in a tackle spot. But that means if you got one more, right? You got the right tackle at 31. You're set at both tackle positions, Niang and drafted guy and Tooney. I'll take those risks. I'll figure out long-term center and long-term right guard. That feels like playing with low risk, right? Low stakes at that stage. if those are the two positions going into next year, I said you still don't have a long-term answer, right guard and center. All right, cool. I'm good. No problems there. It's they still need long-term solutions at corner. They still need, like, Binkley's got him taking a third-round linebacker. I want to complain about that because I don't love it from a personal perspective, but he's not wrong in the sense that they're probably looking for long-term solutions there. Bink's right in the sense that they have, what, Hitchens, and he's under there for a year. Wilson just signed with the Jaguars, and he wasn't a long-term answer. Willie Gay is the person that you're supposed to do that, but it's like, man, back-to-back years of spending second- and third-round picks on linebacker. Well, starts to feel like that's not it.
And that means you don't have a wide receiver in this in Bink's latest mock
till
the fourth round. And to me, that scares me a little bit as
well.
That
means McCall Hardman's your...
Yeah, unless you think that...
Or DeMarcus Robinson.
Unless you think Tommy Trimble essentially doesn't become a number two wide receiver, but he becomes one of your top, your number three option. Unless you feel confident in that, or number three or four option, then I don't like waiting until the fourth round to get a wide receiver, no matter how deep it is. And I know the wide receiver he has mocked to KC apparently is super quick, but also very raw. I need someone, to your point earlier.
I'll take super quick and raw at wide receiver, but I might like another one early too.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if you want to do that later, but I also don't have a number two wide receiver this year. Sorry, McCall Hardman. Like, I don't have one.
And available options stink. Antonio Brown is the best available free agent wide receiver.
Yeah, we've talked about him, and I just don't have any interest in him coming to Kansas City. He's going to be on a team. I know somebody will. I just don't need Kansas City. I still think he ends up in Tampa. They'll work out whatever crap they got to work out.
Do you? He seems like he's kind of a weird dude. I feel like he'll take whichever.
You think?
I think he'll just take like whatever team gives him the most money. He's going to end up playing for like the, oh man, let me just think of the most random team. He's going to end up being a Viking. Like, it's just going to make no sense. Like, the team you would have never predicted. That's who's going to end up with Antonio Brown. I've not heard a single team mention him. I think he just wants the check. And I don't blame him. Like, he's probably still got some legal fees racked up. And he reportedly is probably not.
Yeah, there's like, some stuff on the horizon for him.
Yeah. And that makes it a risk to bring him in general. But the options at X wide receiver are very limited. But can they, right? The one thing I would say about the Chiefs is, as much as we want them to get a second wide receiver, how many teams already have what they have before you even add anybody, man? They have a 1,500-yard wide receiver. They have a 1,200-yard wide receiver in Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill already, man, before you bring in anyone. They've got a 600-yard speedster in McCole Hardman, and whether you think he's an ex-wide receiver, that's a good weapon to have in your lineup. They could increase Clyde Edwards-Alaire workload in the passing game. Bink's talking about a second-round tight end. Maybe that's how you cover some of these positions. If you don't get the stable wide receiver, that's where Bink's draft mock makes sense. Like, one of these stable, the more polished guy we're going to have is at tight end. It's not great, but he's going to pick up the 300 yards, and the other 300 yards is going to come from the guy we're taking in the fifth round or the fourth round from Auburn. Like, there's a way to me to finagle it to maybe hide that a little bit. The problem is, do you have even just one guy who can get open on their own? Because teams will find a way to slow down Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill if it's just those two.
Yeah, I mean, as we get closer to the draft, too, it'll be interesting what kind of noise is out there and what's, there's a lot of fake stuff that gets thrown out there close to the draft. But, two, as we get closer, there should be some more noise a little bit on where the Chiefs are thinking, or at least what they want people to think they're thinking. Does that make sense, right? Like, we get into that camp. We're not there yet. It's April 6th, but that's probably about a week or two away from that kind of stuff really starting up, where it's like, here, and the Chiefs are in love with this guy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, is that true or not? Like, time will tell. Like, we knew last year heading in the draft that running back was starting to look more and more like a legit option. People might have been dreaming of who their top back was, but Clyde was, let's not kid ourselves, at 32 was a surprise. Like,
he was.
It was a surprise to pick 32. Are we in for that this year? Maybe not. I'm good with no surprise this year at 31, which means just take a tackle. I don't need a surprise. Just go get me the best left tackle possible at 31. That's all I need. I don't need a surprise. That's it.
No
Unless
surprises.
You want a draft night trade and the Ravens decide to trade their left tackle, then I'm good
I take
with that.
A surprise as they traded up to 21 because the tackle they love fell down to 21 and they were willing to make the move up.
Sure.
I can't even argue with that. I mean, if they took
it's
a tackle.
It's a lot of payments. You're giving up that. Not only swapping, you're giving up your second probably and maybe even your third round pick. I mean,
you don't have to give up both.
Second and a fourth.
I looked up the. Yeah, it's that.
It's a second and a fourth in the draft guide.
I looked up the draft guide calculator. And maybe. It seems like this year more than others, some teams have been more willing to trade into future years. So maybe it could be next year's second round pick.
And I still think if you do next year, what's intriguing, which is why I don't hate the Darnold trade the Panthers gave up.
You might think Eric Bieniemy's going to get a gig.
You get a comp pick. Yeah, you get two comp picks. So,
yeah, but over 2 years, yeah, right? But, you get a third back next year if you trade a second this year because you think, or we all assume, Eric Bieniemy will get a job next year. Although I have been assuming that for multiple years.
I know,
been frustrated with the way the NFL has been handling it.
The final word.
Big day in the Tap household, Gold. My four-year-old daughter, who's been potty trained for a very long time, just in general, day to day. We put her in a pull-up at night.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, look, man, you don't want to run the risk. Kids sleep for 12 hours.
Sure.
Never really let her run that role. I asked her last night if she wanted to take a chance. You want to just sleep in your regular underwear? She said yes. Dry.
Mmm.
Dry.
It's a big win.
She was in there 12 hours.
It's a big win.
She slept
win.
For 12 hours because kids, man, it's ridiculous. They can just sleep forever. 12 hours. Dry, Serta. That's a big moment for the Tap household. That's a W.
That is nice. A major win.
Now I just got to get the other kid potty trained. And I don't want to start that. Potty training stinks, man. It's no fun.
You were telling me earlier.
This is like she's clean potty out this
separate. You have to clean out this separate little contraption.
Yeah, sometimes if you get like a little kid potty versus just making them go on the big one, you got to like, there's something you got to rinse out. Look, man.
Do you just like rinse it out in the shower?
That's what I'm wondering. Like,
I
in
flush
a sink?
Everything down the toilet.
Right.
And then I just like
so
rinse
you, like, scoop it out with toilet paper?
No, I just knock it off the edge. If that helps. It works. I flush it, and then I go clean it. This is the life, man. If you guys ever have kids, congratulations. This is what you can look forward to.
Crash.
Thrilling. Thrilling. Thank you for leaving us with that mental image as well. Thank you. We're back at it tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We'll get you set for Royals baseball here on 610 Sports Radio. Up next, it's The Drive.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.